My background, as was mentioned, is both in public health and school nursing. I think I'm just going to yell, so lean in the back if you can't hear. Let me know. Excuse me. And as background for this, what I'm going to be talking about is I have a real passion for global health nursing as well, and worked a lot in other countries and noticed practices of nurses. And I started looking at public health nursing, and then because my specialty is in school nursing, how different models of practice there were and how we can learn a lot, even if they might not fit here where we are working here, the importance of learning different models. So that's what kind of the premise of why I started. I'm just curious, does anyone have any school nursing background? A little bit. Oh, good. Okay. I think this will apply for both school nursing and public health very well, though, because oftentimes you'll see they overlap. So that's what I'm going to talk about. And then specifically, I was asked to highlight Scotland. I've done it specifically there. So just this is some background. As we all know, when it comes to public health and school nursing, children and mother-baby are so important. Because if you can start while they're young and work with them at a younger age, as they get older, of course, they're just in a better opportunity. They've been empowered to work. So just some premise to see that issues that we deal with here in the United States are seen across the world. Just a few statistics here regarding asthma. Is the most common condition here in the United States. Also, around the world, millions of children suffer from it. Obesity also. At the same time, not so much problems here in the United States, but we do see these, is the fact that the leading cause of death for children, now these are usually less than 5 years old, but that's beginning our school-age children, still are dying from pneumonia, diarrhea, malnutrition, and malaria. So the need for nurses in the schools is very important. So what I did was I conducted a systematic literature review. I did have to lead it just to English. I just speak some Spanish, but there wasn't really anything in Spanish. And I don't, unfortunately, speak any other languages. But we're actually getting partners in other countries of other languages because I'd love to learn more. I just have that challenge at the moment, the barrier. We also looked at and did some analysis of OECD data to see, because they collect and kind of make it so it's equal that you can compare data across countries. And then we did some key informant interviews, and then actually we have an online survey going on right now. It just was launched after our pilot. We have it launched, and we already have 7 countries with multiple nurses from those countries participating. So I'm going to share kind of a little bit of all of that, as well as highlighting Scotland. This is just the results of what we found and where we got the information from. So just quickly on the OECD data, which is the Office of Economics, and I can't remember the C one. I'm sorry. I should have written it down. Anyway.
Economic Development.
Thank you. Okay. This is just looking at nurses, and it's not specifically public health nurses, but just to get a feel of how nurses are, the number throughout the world in various countries. And these are the countries, I mean, they list many more, but I wanted to make them so you could actually read them. And also, these are many of the countries that work there in our online survey because they're mostly English-speaking. I should tell you that, the average was about 8.4, as you can see, nurses per 1,000 population, with the highest being Iceland, that you can see is a little over 14. Per 1,000. So just to kind of get a feel for how the landscape is. Then also the data also showed the nurse to physician ratio, because of course this is important. And again, you can see here that I wish there was a pointer, but on the far end on the left here is the average of OECD, which is at about 2.9 of nurses per one physician. The highest was Ireland with 5 nurses per physician, but there are many countries not shown on here that had less than 1 nurse per physician. So this also goes into the landscape of you've got to understand the healthcare system before you can understand the role of any nurse, public health or school nursing. The other information they've done is they've taken 30 countries and they did some ranking of child well-being, and those are the areas on the top. I know it's small, but I wanted you to kind of see it's how school nursing and how child health is looked at is very different in each of the countries. And the ranking were very different. Some countries ranked really high in one area, not so high in other areas. So that led to doing some key informant interviews and trying to learn about how school nurses work in other countries. So it was very interesting. I actually made the assumption from my experience having worked in other countries that oftentimes they come from more of the public health realm, and hence which was perfect since I love both. But actually, it was interesting that even many countries that have a national healthcare system actually still employ their school nurses by the schools, which was surprising. That was a little bit surprising to me because oftentimes in other countries, and I started in Scotland, they actually are employed by the Ministry of Health. But it depends. Each country does do it, has their own unique way. The roles vary tremendously. In Ireland, the nurses do work for the public health or the health ministry, but they do just screenings. That's the only thing they go into the schools to do. They would like to do health promotion. They would like to work with chronic disease management, but that is not their given role. Their role is specifically to just do screenings, and they rotate and get the screenings done, and that is all. On the flip side, some of the Scandinavian countries focus just on health promotion. They don't do the chronic disease management. That is done by the district nurses who come in and work with the providers, and that's taken care of. And so they focus just specifically on health promotion and prevention, which is a very interesting difference. And then you've got everything else in between. But I picked those because I thought those were very unique situations. I also found it interesting that, and it's showing up on our survey of preliminary results, which I'll talk about, is the fact that chronic disease management, which is a huge part of what is done here in the United States in school nursing, not done very much in other countries. Their focus seemed to either be like the screenings or the health promotion, but because of their healthcare systems and the way it worked, they did very little oftentimes with chronic disease management. So, a few other things that were similar is even though it was unique the way the roles were, the thing that was similar between them all is that everyone's going through some type of healthcare reform. So everyone's kind of looking. So this was actually wonderful. We really got some good networking going because we were all looking to see, well, what's being done, what can we learn from each other, and what's going to work best where we are. The other thing is the huge increase in focus with health disparities and social determinants here in the United States, but in all countries, and how that was becoming a more and more of a factor of what the school nurses did focus on, which I thought was interesting. And then finally, all of us, budget. It's always, a big issue. And Scotland, which I'm going to concentrate and talk to you about, was one of those countries that actually had a pretty major change in how they practiced school nursing, and it became because of budget cuts that occurred. So they all mentioned that they all struggle with a need to show that a school nurse is cost effective and to show the impact of school nursing. So I think there's lots of opportunities where we can do more networking. I attended a conference in Ireland, the International Public Health Nursing Conference, this past August. And that was we got many of our contacts for our survey. And it was interesting to see the struggles that everyone's facing. But the idea, we've always kind of worked in our silos and done things differently because healthcare systems were so different. And even though there are so many differences, there's enough similarities that they're trying to do more and more of networking across. And I think that's really encouraging to see what comes of that, especially when it comes to data and showing cost effectiveness. And even though I'm focusing on school nursing, I think it's true across the board in most areas of public health nursing. Home visiting has more done by far, but there's a lot of room, and so being able to pull in different models will be interesting to see. So I wanted to share just briefly some of the overall online survey results before I go into Scotland. It was very interesting to me that we asked about what their daily activities were, and their top four or five, the first one was an acute, like the injuries that occur. Pretty common across the board. Second was communicating with parents. These are activities in which they did. Third was, actually I was surprised by this, was in health informatics and data, which is something I'm very interested in, which is another part of the survey we're looking at, is how other people collect data and use it, because that's something we're trying to do with school nurses nationally, is get a common data set that we all collect data the same way. So it's very interesting to see that that is being done in other countries. Paperwork, and then medication administration came up. And the reason I thought that was kind of interesting, it's very common here in the United States, medication administration, but the fact that so many school nurses had talked about that they really didn't do a lot with chronic disease management, which oftentimes would be the medications, I thought it was interesting that even though they said that they didn't do a lot with it, when it came down to actual daily activities, they are doing something with it, at least in regards to the medication administration, hopefully beyond that too. not mentioned here is they also do a lot of education, came across. They all said that they did some type of health promotion. Even though I know that some countries said they did screenings, there was also some type of education, and they said that school nurses did. Nutrition was the first, was the highest one, hygiene, and then reproductive health. Those were the top three. We listed several others, but those by far became the top ones. Data collection, which I said was something of personal interest to me, as we're trying to identify a common core data set here in the United States, was the fact that many countries have them. However, with absences, a lot of times the school nurses aren't the ones that track that. Well, the school nurses don't usually track that in the U.S. too. It's the school secretaries or others that do, but it's being able to find how we can track or use that information better to identify children that are gone for multiple days for chronic conditions. But they do collect a lot regarding health encounters. They also have several policies. We were looking at Nurse Practice Acts because we realized that all is part of the picture. And it was actually encouraging more similarities than differences. So even though our key informants, we'd really highlighted these differences, when it came down to the nuts and bolts of what school nurses are doing throughout the world, there are a lot more similarities. And what's encouraging is this common core data set is that the majority of nurses that participated from the various countries actually identify at a local level, which I think is more along the lines of what we currently have in the United States at the moment. So, and then many countries have a scope and standard, so that's kind of one of our next steps is we're going to kind of compare and contrast those to see how that influences the nurse's role. So now specifically to Scotland. And the reason this was chosen, well, I was asked to do, but I have I have a sister that lives in Scotland, so it makes it very easy. So when I go to visit, then the contacts, and her oldest daughter just started P1, which is like first grade, kindergartenish. And so it's been very interesting to see it from the role of my sister as a consumer, as well as she's had many connections. I actually did several key informant interviews, and they're part of this study. So the structure is with the national healthcare system is that home visitors oversee the children 0 to 5. And in years ago, they used to have a school nurse that kind of helped with them, but when budget cuts occurred, those were taken out. And so now, the home visitors still oversee the children from 0 to 5. And then once they hit 5, then if there are chronic conditions, it's the district nurse that would step in and take care of them. But they actually rarely ever go to the schools. It's all done more in the clinics. In fact, when I was there and was asking some of the other moms, many of them said they've never even seen the district nurse in the schools. Like, they know who they are because they'll see them in the community for other things, but oftentimes they never even go in the school. There's no immunization requirements, and which was a surprise to me just because I'm so used to the United States system that that's such a huge part when it comes to public health. Well, something that I found very interesting with these budget cuts, so they changed that, and they like the positive side of it is the fact that the home visiting starts when those babies are born, and so they really get to know the families. There's a really strong bond. So they're really able to identify, especially social determinants, any high-risk activity. That's the idea. And they also visit. They visit a lot right at the beginning, but as the child gets older, it might just be once a year. But they're able to actually identify if there are developmental needs and get them into resources quickly. So that was on the positive side, I thought. Then when the district nurses come on board, if there's a chronic condition, many districts have actually a specialist. So maybe there's a specialist in diabetes, and they'll work with the child and the family. Now, according to what I've been told, and I realize it's a key informant, so, I mean, it can be different everywhere, so this is not necessarily generalizations for the entire country, for sure. But from those that I talked, the commonality was how they got involved with the school was if the teacher asked for it. It put a lot of onus on the teachers to say, you know what, I'm not comfortable. I have a child that has asthma or diabetes, and then they would contact the specialist, and then the specialist would be willing to help do some teaching of what to watch for in the schools, but since the teachers aren't really involved, other than to know that child might have a chronic condition, it's really up to the teacher to ask. And I even asked that in the one school, they actually go on a field trip, a week-long overnight field trip. So I asked, well, you know, what do the children do that have a chronic condition? And I go, we just take care of it. And I said, so you don't get any special training for that time either? And she said, no, it's okay. And so I was a little surprised at that. I know in qualitative research you have to bracket your biases. And so but that was startling to me, and that's something I want to look more into. I certainly think they should be participating, but it appeared to me that they put a lot of onus on the children. And I mean, elementary up to seventh grade, I think, that go on this week-long field trip overnight. That's a lot to not have someone there if something did happen. So one thing that was very interesting, though, was this coordination. And as we're trying to look at Affordable Care Act here and the ACOs, is that one thing that was really interesting is they coordinated all the forms between the police, the schools, and help. And so they do that, and they find that it actually works, because what they found, there were so many languages that we all speak our own lingo, and this forced them to figure out each other's lingo. And so that was actually a very positive thing that came out of it. Also, sometimes the children that are at high risk in one area are also at high risk in another area. This way they were able to identify it, and they were able to work as teams to identify how they can work with those children at risk. So I thought that was a very interesting model. I asked how it was going, and this is something that's relatively new, and so they said, well, so far, so good. But it'll be something that'll be interesting to watch to see how it works down the road. I know of programs here in the United States that have tried to do something similar and brought in social workers as well. And it can be challenging because of the silos, but it can also be very rewarding if you can really get that coordination going. And that's where I saw it tying into. This is actually a quote from the white government paper from the UK, mostly based out of England, not Scotland. But I thought it was interesting that they talked about this need for a new health and care system where every organization needs to demonstrate how it can best contribute to people's health and well-being at every stage, and this coordination. So how we tie this in, we're continuing with the survey. So those were just preliminary results. But I find it interesting as we do look at with the Affordable Care Act and this push on coordination of care and the push of doing more in the community, how public health nurses and school nurses can really be an integral part of the organization. There's some research that shows here, the first one is in the hospitals, but it shows that the RN as case manager does decrease ER visits and decreases reduction to medical offices. And there's actually research that shows that the school nurse case manager also has been integral in decreasing absences at school due to illness. So the premise has begun there. And then this model in Scotland, which shows that coordination. Now, it's interesting because it seemed that the teachers have a lot more in the role of that key coordinator versus, at least from the school point of view, from a community point of view, the district nurses are very much involved. So it'll be interesting to see how that works all together. But there's the premise to see if it really can. I mean, that's why Scotland did it, is they were it was a budget issue of trying to coordinate costs and what was effective. So these are statistics in the United States, but again, just showing how return on investment, which is the big buzzword here, how it really is for every dollar that's put in to prevention, depression. And we actually just, it's not been published yet, but there actually has been a study that shows in school nursing here in the United States, for every dollar that's put into it, $2.20 is put back. And that's just for specific clinical, like catheterizations, NG tubes, things like that. It didn't include anything regarding health promotion and prevention. So you know the numbers are gonna go up there, where all those other numbers had more to do with prevention. So the limitations is, like I say, overall our study is just in English. We do have some nurses that have volunteered to translate it into Japanese. And we would like to expand. We actually have several non-English speaking countries that people in those countries spoke English that took the survey already. But we definitely want to expand it. And then we want to drill down more like we've started to do in Scotland to really see where it's a different model of care that seems to be working with them that is unique for what we're used to, but we can learn a lot from. And I'm not saying we just pick it up and transplant it here. But as we're looking at healthcare reform here, seeing what differences are done out there and what does seem to work that maybe we haven't thought of, or maybe it's just a tweaking, and seeing how we can get together to really understand. But of course, because they're key informants, I love qualitative research and I'm very for it, but I do have to say, of course, that's a limitation because it's those people's stories and we didn't get the whole country. And so I'm not making that generalization. It would be interesting. These were more suburban areas that I talked to key informants. It would be very interesting to see in the cities what was going on and if that coordination worked as well. Everyone in these suburban areas knows everybody. So it would be different with that coordination, how it would really work. But it shows that we all have limited data, and it's something that I think we could do more as we're looking as a global society in which we live and trying to identify a common core data set here. The Scandinavian countries in particular are known for their data collection in public health, and what can we learn from them that would help us, because we're all struggling with trying to find data that shows the cost effectiveness of nurses that work in schools, as we started to say, instead of schoolers. And that's kind of where we are, what we're talking about, and that need for visibility. Just as a final quote, I thought this is actually from a dissertation from a student, just talking about how each affects the other and the other affects the next. And the world are full of stories, but the stories all are one. It's actually from The Five People You Meet in Heaven. I just got it from the dissertation. And I think that's what we're really about. If we can, we're all unique and we bring so many great contributions, but we can all learn and we realize in the end we all are one. So that's it. Those are just questions.